Here.
Bill Goggins. Laura Hine. John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Elsie Weber.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. So, well, goodness. The agenda provides for election of officers before we announce the agenda, so I guess that's the first order of business, and then we can go on with it. And we really haven't discussed this, so I'm going to open for nominations for...
Are you two guys happy with what you're doing?
I'd like to nominate Rick.
Well, I'm going to say the same thing that I've said in the past, and that is I enjoy doing this, but I don't want to feel like I'm monopolizing it. And, you know, I want to provide the opportunity for somebody else if they have any desire to do it.
Would you two guys consider reversing it?
I'm certain I've mentioned this to John before. I think John does a phenomenal job, and in many ways he acts as chair more than I do. So, I am completely. I would welcome John acting as chair if he wants it, and if he doesn't want it, then I'm fine with the way it is. And if anybody else wants it, I'm not wedded to being the chair of the community council.
Are you finished bloviating?
Just trying to make it.
I'd like to recommend. Rick Whitney for chair.
Second it.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for chair of the Houghton Community Council?
I nominate John Kapler.
Okay.
In case he wants to.
I decline. Thank you.
Okay. I would second it if you want, but then we'd have to discuss.
Okay. Any other nominations for chair? Going once, going twice. Okay, the nominations are closed, and then by acclamation, I guess I am the chair for another year.
Huzzah!
Thank you, guys. Now, nominations for the vice chair.
I would like to nominate John Kapler.
I second it.
Okay. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Nominations are closed, and by acclamation, John Kapler shall serve as vice chair for 2015.
Huzzah!
Thank you all.
Well, it wasn't that easy.
Such an honorary group.
Yes. So, with that, moving on to the agenda, we have minutes to approve, then council member reports and comments, work program, requests from the audience, if any, and then that would be outside of any public testimony on marijuana regulations, which we are having a opportunity for the public to present. And then we go to... the zoning code reformat action, and finally administrative reports. So with that, I would welcome a motion to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
I so move.
Okay.
I second.
It's moved and second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, good. So we won't be reading the minutes. Let's start with the minutes from August 25th. Anybody have any additions or corrections?
Nope. So long ago, I don't remember.
Well, yeah, that's one of the issues because it has been a while. I looked through it and I couldn't see anything that didn't seem out of place. Yeah. But
they are kind of old.
Yeah. Well, so if nobody has any issues with it, could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Okay, it's been
second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. The 28th, I don't think that we even necessarily approve that, but it just, if we see anything in there, that's the joint meeting with the Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. We don't even sign that, but if you see anything that you have any issues with, let's hear it. Looked fine to me. It was just the right size parking discussion that we had in the presentation. So we'll let that one pass. So then we go to September 22nd minutes. Any additions or corrections on that?
Mm-mm. Sure.
Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. So we've got our minutes approved. Do we have any council member reports or comments? John.
I do have one. At our last meeting, we had a false start on the video presentation for Better Government. During that presentation, we all purported to watch it on our own so we could sign the certificate. I chatted with Nancy and Paul about that the copies online weren't very good. We probably might not get it completed and signed off. And if we didn't, that we ought redo it at our next council meeting. I'll say it this way. Has anybody not finished viewing the video? So I'm going to suggest, Nancy, that this is something that is, it must get done. And
I'm not sure we have a better version to show you. So
it's just unlistenable.
Yeah. Well, then what I believe the other groups are doing or did is just to turn down the volume and go through the PowerPoint on your own computer. I mean, you could come together again and do that, but I don't see a sense in it. I thought you got an email from Prince Cowan about that. Because that was the best solution that I'm aware of. There's not a better version.
Okay.
So,
in other words, it's we don't really care so much about the process. It's just fulfilling the obligation.
Well, you would learn by going through the PowerPoint because, as I recall, they were pretty much reading the slides.
Right.
So
a book report.
Yeah, so there's no reason that you need to do that as a group, and you could just go through the slides at home. And then now you each walked away with your little certificates, so I was hoping you still have them. Okay, raise your hand if you have your certificate.
I'm sure it's in an envelope.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it someplace.
Brian?
We can just go back and look at that email to find the link.
I believe so, but I can't confirm.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was just wondering. That is the best course that I know of.
Okay.
I'm sorry that...
No, we forgot.
It's not any better than that.
All right.
I know that it is desired, especially since you're elected, to do that post-haste.
Yeah.
So okay.
If you could do it at home and then... drop off or send in your certificate as soon as possible.
It's a PowerPoint.
What was the deadline supposed to be for that?
Come and gone?
I think the end of January.
Yeah, the end of January sounds familiar. So,
oops.
Are they going to come get us if we don't?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, let's all make an effort to get that certificate in. Oh, that's a great idea. Okay. Thank you, John.
Did anyone hear from Laura?
Laura's in Europe, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Laura we can teleconference her in right now. Yeah.
Bill, I think, is like, I think he was out of town.
He's going to be gone for 2 months.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, he's got duties.
Okay.
So, yeah, they may not. Well, we'll try to give them some sort of a communication to.
All right. Yeah.
Do something.
We can reach Laura.
Okay.
Sure.
Anything? Any other council member reports or comments?
Mine's a comment. On the corner of 106th and 38th Street is about the ugliest building I've ever seen. It looks like they put 1960s linoleum and cut it up in pieces and stuck it on there.
Oh, you mean the TOD?
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
I have to say something.
It's really awful.
It's ugly. I mean, my 10th grade boys could have done better than that.
It's really ugly. Why can't we talk about it? Is there anything? There's nothing to be done, right?
Well, we'd have to add it to our agenda. That's okay. If you want to talk about it, we'd have to add it to the agenda. We have in the past brought up a couple of items to come back to us that really haven't.
Yeah.
So I think we as a group, we need to decide if we really do want to chat about that. And if so, I'm going to make a recommendation. We just add it as a little.
Yeah. I'd like to know how it happened. I really want to know where the process went off the rails.
Let's make this a formal process. Yeah. Let's make a motion to add it to the agenda. Then we have to add it to the agenda. And then it's part of our formal records.
I think the process went off the lines. We gave up our authority to do the outside of it and let the design review people do it.
Yeah, well, so
sorry.
John, you've got by far the most knowledge about the whole process. You sat in on a lot of those meetings, and so do you feel comfortable in having this discussion, and or should we involve other people?
Oh, I think we need to have somebody
come in and come in. This is something that we would not be doing today. We'd be scheduling it for the next meeting.
They can say where they got their linoleum.
Well, I think even what we're doing right now needs to be a discussion item, so we should add it to the agenda, to put it at the end of the night, make an action plan on what to do, and have that done.
All right. We'll add it to the end of the agenda as far as an action plan goes.
Okay.
Okay?
So we'll add that on the end of tonight's agenda.
Right. Okay. TOD. Any other council member reports or comments? I want to mention one thing, and I thought that I had sent copied you guys on something that I had done. John and I talked about this at the end of January. I got notified by Joan Lieberman Brill that the comp plan amendment that we had reviewed previously, it was not controversial. We had not objected to it, but the city council passed it in December, and we had a period of time where we had to approve it. If we were going to do our formal approval, it had to happen at our January meeting. Mm. When we canceled the January meeting, nobody was thinking about that. Me, staff, anybody. And then suddenly it came. Joan sent me an email and says, "Hey, we've got an issue here. If you want to take action on this, you need to schedule a special meeting just to approve something that you've had no issue with in the past." Mm-hmm. John and I talked. John called me. I was out of town. Frankly, I wouldn't have even been aware of this because I wasn't checking my email because I was down in Arizona for the Super Bowl when this happened at the end of January. And so John calls me up and says, "Hey, Rick, we've got this issue." I talked to Joan about it, and we talked about it and just felt this is something that we had no issue with whatsoever. It had virtually no impact on Houghton. So did it really merit trying to schedule a special meeting just to do that? And so I responded, and I'll explain to you, or I'll read you exactly what I responded to Joan. I said, "Joan, I've been in Arizona for the last 10 days. I've been checking my voice messages and email messages, but I typically only check my city email account every week or so. Fortunately, John Kapler called me about this matter last week. We concurred with staff's recommendation to not schedule a meeting to approve what was a non-issue, in our opinion. Adding projects that have our support to the CFP so they are eligible for funding is pretty much a no-brainer. That was really the only thing that affected Houghton. So I just said, thank you for making sure that we had the opportunity to act on the ordinance. This is the first time that I can recall us allowing an ordinance within our jurisdiction to become effective without affirmatively approving the ordinance. I do not expect it to happen again. Best regards, Rick." So I just wanted you guys to know that was the way that we acted on it, and I didn't feel like it was inappropriate under the circumstances, but I did. Yeah, I thought it warranted disclosure.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
So, as I recall, there were three issues of exact undisclosed or yet unknown specifics. It was some work on the trail, some work on some intersections, and Nancy or Eric, do you remember what the third one? Really insignificant little items.
And just making them eligible for funding.
And just making
them. That's really all it did.
Which would then determine exactly what was going to happen.
Thank you for keeping us in the loop. I think if we hadn't acted, it just would have happened in 60 days, right?
Well, and it did. It did happen.
But it's good. Yeah.
Well, and I don't like us not, I don't like by default allowing things to go through. And I wanted to make it clear that it was an exception. We did not expect it to be happening in the future.
Agreed.
But this is why it didn't make sense to have a special meeting for that purpose. So just so you all know, that's what we did. So, okay, with that, anything on work program review should be discussing, Nancy?
No.
Okay.
At the end of the, under administrative items, we have calendars.
Got it. Okay. So do we have any audience comments other than on the marijuana hearing? New?
No comments.
Okay.
A friend of Eric's, huh?
Line up at the back.
I love how you stated that.
Form a line in the back, please.
Okay, so with that, we are ready for our marijuana regulations testimony and hearing.
Good evening. I'm Eric Shields from the Department of Planning and Community Development, and I'm here to give a little presentation on the ordinance that will be coming before the City Council on next Tuesday night to codify regulations which are now interim regulations on marijuana locations and conditions for locations in the City of Kirkland. And I should say right off the bat, I think that as a factual matter, these regulations do not have any impact whatsoever on Houghton right now, but as I'll explain in a little bit, they have a potential impact in the future should some of the state regulations, which are now covering the city, change and in ways that we don't know right now. So let me explain a little bit. Marijuana locations are governed by both state regulations and city zoning regulations. The state establishes buffer zones around certain sensitive uses, and these were included in the Initiative 502 that legalized marijuana. So specifically, marijuana retail sales, producers, and processors, which are the three types of marijuana businesses that the state enabled, all three of those must be 1,000 feet away as the bird or the crow flies from schools, parks, transit centers, and daycare centers. And I'm sure I'm missing a few other little things there. So those kinds of facilities are essentially established a buffer zone, so you can't put these kinds of facilities around those things. But even then, you can only put them where there's the proper zoning. So without any kind of other changes to our zoning, the marijuana retailers would only be allowed in zones where retailing is a permitted activity. Producers and processors likewise would only be allowed in zones that allow those kinds of activities. So in Houghton, there are no zones like light industrial zones that allow producers and processors. So it simply is not, those activities are not allowed in Houghton. So any of the regulations that are adopted to deal with those zones don't apply to Houghton. Similarly, as I'll show you in a moment, all of the retail zones that are in Houghton are covered by those 1,000-foot buffers, with one exception. So the City Council was dealing with this over the last about year, really, and has established interim regulations, and they've kind of gone through in a series of ordinances that established finally the interim regulations that have been in effect for, let's say, the last year or so. I think the last six-month period is due to expire near the end of March. So at the last time that the council adopted or renewed these interim regulations, they said, directed the staff to codify those regulations. In other words, put them into the zoning code so that they would become permanent regulations. So that's what we're doing here. So in a nutshell, what the new regulations do, again, codifying what's already in effect, is to prohibit marijuana retail sales in the Market Street Corridor 1 and 2 zones. Those are outside of Houghton jurisdiction, And those are the zones along Market Street, which became an issue for the community there. I think Mr. Nelson is here because he's been involved in that issue. And so one of the interim regulations that were adopted along the way said those zones, though they allow retail uses generally, the interim regulations prohibited retail sales in those zones. So the ordinances that will be before the City Council next Tuesday night, will codify, put into the zoning code, the prohibition on retail marijuana in those zones. Likewise, at the same time that they were prohibiting the marijuana sales in those zones, the council said, but we want marijuana regulations to be successful. We think Kirkland should do its part to accommodate these kinds of uses. So if we're going to take away the MSC 1 and 2 zones from marijuana sales, we think we should find other places where they can go. So they ended up allowing marijuana retail sales in 3 different zones, the LIT, Light Industrial Technology Zone, the Totem Lake 7 and the Totem Lake 9A zones, all 3 of which are industrial type zones. And then they put a caveat for the LIT zone, and they said only where at least 50% of the zone is bounded by commercial zones. And if you look at a map, the only light industrial technology zone where that's the case is near Costco up on Rose Hill. So again, none of those zones are in Houghton, so those don't really affect Houghton. But that is one of the things that's in the regulations that will be before the council. And thirdly, they also established that we should prohibit marijuana retail sales abutting school walk routes. And this is the item, while it doesn't affect Houghton now, there are school walk routes in Houghton that could be important to have this prohibition in these zones, so that if the state regulations change, that this would still be in effect and would prevent these. And I've got some maps I can show you in a minute, but let me get through my basic presentation here first. The regulations would also add a new plate 46, which would document where school walk routes are, and would add a new regulation to Chapter 115 of the Zoning Code to establish odor restrictions for processing and production uses. So amongst all of that, the only ones that would have a potential future impact on Houghton would be the prohibition along school walk routes. So I'll just kind of go through a few charts, and I won't linger because, again, these don't apply to Houghton, but here's the nature of what's being added to the light industrial TL7 and TL9A zones, a new use listing with allowing retail marijuana sales and then the associated regulations for those. The odor regulation for Chapter 115. The retail establishment is already a permitted use in the MSC 1 and 2 zones, and there would be a new special regulation over in the far right. There's a list of prohibited retail uses. For example, car dealers are not now allowed. This would retail marijuana sales to that list of permitted or prohibited retail uses. And then here's the one that is applies to a number of zones, which says that retail establishments selling marijuana or products containing marijuana are not permitted on properties abutting school walk routes. And these are the zones over on the right side that would have this special regulation added in the use zone chart. So in Houghton, we have a PR zone, we have a BN zone, and a BC zone that would all have this regulation added. And then the plate, which is this map right here, which simply shows where the school walk routes are. Any property that abuts one of those routes would have marijuana sales prohibited. Now, let me pass out these maps, because these are the maps prepared by our GIS folks.
Thank you. Yeah.
giving you a paper copy of this because I think this one I'm going to put up on the screen is going to be hard to read. So, but if you look at this map, you'll see a lot of gray areas, and those gray areas are where our GIS folks simply identified sites that we believe, we don't know for a fact, but we believe that the state Washington State Liquor Control Board would consider to be the sensitive uses for which a buffer would be required. And so the GIS folks put on this map this gray shading wherever that 1,000-foot buffer was identified as a likely buffer. And so this applies to parks, except it technically doesn't apply to undeveloped parks. It applies to schools and applies to transit centers. And then the thing that is a bit of a wild card is state-regulated daycare centers, because those are also protected. And I say that's a wild card because those things can move a lot more readily than a school or a park can move. So if they move, well, then the whole buffer potentially moves. However, we've been told that the Liquor Control Board would not require, if they permitted a marijuana retail sales business because it was not within a buffer, and then later a daycare shows up, they would not require the marijuana business to move, but it would establish a new buffer for future businesses in that. So overlaid on this map, in addition to those 1,000-foot buffers, are the zones shown in red and a few that are in orange, and then also in light blue, where there's industrial uses, where the zoning would potentially allow for these kinds of businesses. And since some of those buffers overlap those zones, they were kind of muted a little bit to show that they would normally be allowed in a red area, for example, but they're kind of now a subtly muted shade of red where those are no longer allowed because the buffers from the State Liquor Control Board are likely make those properties ineligible for retail uses. So when you boil it all down, there aren't that many places in Kirkland where these kinds of businesses can locate. They can locate at a few sites up in Totem Lake. They can locate in the light industrial, the light blue area in the far eastern part of Totem Lake. And in fact, there's one business that is open there already, and I just heard today there's another one that apparently has applied for a business license or a liquor or a marijuana license, whatever that's called, through the Liquor Control Board, not very far from that. So we're likely to have two businesses up there, which, by the way, is the maximum that's allocated to Kirkland under the state law by the Liquor Control Board. So we have two businesses based on our population, based on our 2010 population, and that's appears that both of them, these are marijuana businesses, by the way, both of those would be up in Totem Lake.
Those are both retail then? The limit was retail?
That's the limit is retail.
Right.
There is no restriction on the producing and producers or processing businesses.
Right.
But those are only allowed in the light industrial type zones
right. Anyway.
So when you look at Houghton, you look very closely at this map, there's one site that's left as a potential place where a marijuana business could open, and that's down at the old Yarrow Bay Marina mm-hmm. site. You can see there's kind of a bright red.
Yep.
That's a little brighter than the rest of Carillon Point that surrounds it. So that's the one place that is left as a retail site, which is not subject to any of the restrictions either of the Liquor Control Board or the interim regulations, which are going to the City Council.
But Eric, let me understand.
Yes.
But if we have the two in Totem Lake,
yes,
the one at the marina area couldn't be a retail establishment, but it could be a grow or a processing
establishment? No, it could not. The only places where producers and processors would be are the light industrial zones. None of those are in Houghton anyway.
Okay.
So
but if our two retail are up in Totem Lake, then this wouldn't be developed.
That's correct.
Okay.
One caveat, that was based on the 2010 census. I expect the state will probably update that at some point in time, because you may recall we annexed a much larger area. So our population is much higher than it was in 2010. So maybe next time they allocate these, we'll get one or two more allocations as a potential. But I'm only speculating on that.
Does the city have an interest in, let's say, for example, well, we get four allocated, mm-hmm. four.
Sure.
Does the city have an interest in either keeping those centralized in one area or not having them centralized in one area? And would have you looked at, like, within a geographical area, we don't want more than two?
I haven't looked at that, and I haven't heard the city council discuss that issue. The main thing that they were discussing was wanting to be sensitive to this, pretty much the Market Newkirk neighborhoods, where there was concern about them locating on Market Street. So that was taken off the map. Then I also heard the council say, yeah, but we want to make sure there are at least other reasonable spots for this to happen in Kirkland. And they didn't really talk too much or at all that I can recall about, you know, equal distribution throughout the city and that sort of thing.
I guess you just look at this blue area. And you think, you know, you think about the wine country in Woodinville,
right?
You know, and this right. could certainly become, you know, a place for people to grow, produce,
yeah.
and mark, you know, retail sales.
Well, it's going to be kind of market driven. I don't know what the, you know, market, what marijuana producers are willing to pay for land relative to others that are vying for that land. So
wouldn't they produce a lot of it indoors anyway?
Yeah.
So
greenhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just thinking, it may be something to look at is if you don't want that to happen,
right.
it definitely looks like an opportunity to me on the way to wine country.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So anyway, okay. That's right. More or less it.
Any other questions, comments?
I got one.
Yes.
Let me get to my page. Page 2, Eric. Second paragraph down, or it's underneath the bullets there, where it says, where retail uses are allowed, mostly business district zones. And then below it says, in mostly light industrial zones.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, to me, means can be most anything. Is that what they mean that?
Okay, let me, I know I was being a little imprecise for a reason there. Well, for example, I know on the, when I said mostly business district zones, there are some of the professional office residential zones that also allow retailing. And for example, in Houghton, you may recall when the last Lakeview neighborhood plan update occurred, there was some retailing allowed in the area around, I guess it's around Kid Valley in that area. So you know, that's a case where it's a not technically a business district zone, but it is where retailing is allowed.
That infers that could be, I mean, we're thinking there's only one place in Houghton that could have a retail store, but you're saying that maybe they could have one in that area?
Other than the fact that it's within the 1,000-foot radius by some of those daycares and parks and things like that. They cannot right now, to the best of our knowledge. However, by zoning, they could have a retail business there. Likewise, on the industrial side of things, there are some zones in Totem Lake which are not technically industrial zones, but they do allow for limited production and processing. So I think I was trying to be a little careful about not being misleading that it's only in defined light industrial zones.
Yeah.
Parmac, for example, a lot of that area is no longer defined as an industrial zone, but it still has industrial uses that are allowed there.
And after a year or so, if this needs tweaking, we can all go back to it, right, and
yes,
do something
absolutely.
To it?
Yes.
Or is that too late?
Regulations can always be changed, you know, so if there's a concern and that's the way we want to spend staff time in correcting problems, we can certainly do that.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
John.
So, Eric, back to your comments that under current state law with the definitions of exceptions where retail establishments cannot go.
Yes.
Nothing is allowed in Houghton except for the marina area, as illustrated.
Yeah.
And I believe you were pointing to the line that said school walk routes.
Yes.
That was the line item that might change. I'm trying to speculate here, which is dangerous.
I wasn't meaning to say that school walk routes could change, because this would be adopted in the zoning ordinance as school walk routes. What could change is what I was trying to say is if a daycare center goes away, for example, then that 1,000-foot buffer would go away. That might expose areas that now are prevented from locating because of that state regulation. And so by putting in school walk routes, my intention was to preserve that policy and prevent marijuana from occurring along those school walk routes, even though right now they couldn't go in because of the state buffer.
Right.
That makes
sense? Just make sure I'm understanding, because there's a lot of if, buts, and thens there. It was the city that laid the school walk routes on top of the requirement, and it would be the city then that would have to rescind that requirement to loosen the ordinance.
That's correct.
So the possible changes that would impact Houghton are 100% reliant upon the city itself, not upon the state. I suppose the state could make any changes.
There have been, for example, bills or discussion in the legislature about giving cities more flexibility in reducing buffers, perhaps. So I suppose if a bill passed that gave the city the authority to reduce a buffer next to a daycare, I've heard council members say, well, why do we need the 1,000 feet around daycares? It's taking away some of the most... land that is maybe the best located for some of these things. Could the city then choose to reduce the buffer around daycares? I suppose it could, if that authority were given to the city.
Right.
Okay. Could we choose to be more restrictive?
I think you could, because it's not gone to court, but the state attorney general has opined that cities have the authority to actually ban these businesses within their borders. So
that's what I thought. I heard
and if you can go to banning, so you could go to restricting it even further. So sure.
Eric, my son lives in Prosser, and they've got marijuana retail store in the middle of their town. It has just destroyed the traffic. I mean, have we considered what we might be able to do if 200 people show up every morning at one of these shops or something?
Wow.
Not a lot of specific research into that, to be honest with you. There's a lot of concerns. I know when the Market Street folks were concerned, that was one of the concerns we heard a lot, was about traffic. So the way we dealt with it there, I mean, was to prohibit that use from being in that location. I guess if that was a problem, we would have to then evaluate whether or not that use could be prohibited in a location or, whatever else. We haven't talked a lot about that. We will find out, and maybe we're finding out now, because that business opened up in Totem Lake just like last weekend. So, we should know a little bit more whether or not that traffic is coming to Totem Lake in the same way.
Any other questions, comments? Did anybody wonder on the walking route? It seems to me that I've seen on occasion on 108th kids that are walking along 108th, like by the Houghton Center. Haven't you guys noticed that? And yet that's excluded from the walking route.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I think they walk up from the elementary school. Yeah.
Take a look at 108th.
Oh. And it doesn't even go all the way to the international school, which seems weird to me.
Well, let me tell you, these routes were got these from the Lake Washington School District. And what we simply did was take the roots.
They're teaching our children.
We took the roots that they had identified at some point through some process. I don't know what that was. And we took that and we adopted it as the school walk routes for the city of Kirkland. So there's nothing that would prevent us in the future from revising this and identifying additional routes. This is not to say that these is all the streets, that only these streets are where kids are walking, but these are the designated routes where kids are encouraged to walk. To
school. There's no route from North Star.
So is this something we should have Eric, if we were to say we would like to see all of 108th as part of the walking route, you know, up to 68th, is that something that would be possible, or is that overstretching?
I think there's unintended consequences for that. I think we should really look into it, because I know that...
Just asking the question.
Yeah, but I think people really wanted to get kids off 108th, channel them down to 106th, because the crossing at the 68th and 108th intersection is so bad. So I think that maybe the Neighborhood Association got involved with the school to kind of move it down to... down 60th and down 106th. Yeah.
I suspect that's true. But to answer your question, Rick, this is a city map. Uh-huh. It was derived from the Lake Washington School District. That doesn't mean it has to only be from the Lake Washington School District. So the city council would have the ability to modify this. Okay. So it would be, I mean, right now this is adopted, I don't know where, somewhere in the municipal code, but we're also adding it to the zoning code as a plate.
Right.
So that's that map. So if we were to decide, if your recommendation, for example, would be to add a street or subtract a street, that could be passed on to the city council.
Okay. It's not like we're trying to change how the school district channels, but it's just recognizing the reality that we do see kids walking along that street.
Oh.
And so if the intent is to not allow retail marijuana businesses in an area that is frequented by school children, then maybe it would be something to consider. But I don't have a strong feeling either way. I'm just bringing it to everybody's attention. That's kind of surprised me that that was excluded.
Yep.
So while you're contemplating that, Eric, I'm curious, this doesn't really have any direct impact on Houghton, but this odor regulation, it's just... I'm just curious how, specifically, it says, any odor which injures, endangers the comfort, repose, health, or safety of persons on abutting properties or streets, or in any way renders persons insecure in life or in the use of abutting properties or streets, is a violation of this code.
Yeah, now that
this
language
is all odor-related. Is this a state?
No, that's an existing regulation.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from. I can't tell you anything about that. What's being added is just that number two, the marijuana process.
Right, production. I understand.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. That general regulation is... I know it stinks. No, wait a minute. I couldn't resist.
The
idea was to add this regulation, the number two, to be proactive. And so we will, any business that has to do with marijuana, particularly, well, this is just the production and processing uses, will get reviewed by the city, and the building department will take a look at their, you know, do they have odors, scrubbers, and all that sort of thing that would suffice.
So with that regulation, and since code enforcement is a complaint-based system in most jurisdictions, somebody calls and wants to file a complaint about that.
Yep.
And they call about my vintage Mustang that's got a normally aspirated carburetor that smells like gasoline like every car did in the 70s. So what happens?
Are you talking about the marijuana process?
No, on number one. Somebody calls and says, I have an odor, it endangers my comfort.
The last time we had an enforcement on odor, I can't remember the last time we did.
I don't think we have.
We would investigate. I guess we would go out there and sniff it out.
I'm sorry, wow, you've got a drawer full of those, don't you?
No, I do.
You'll be here all night.
John, I don't know. It's. I think that's the fact that regulation is sort of...
I I love it.
It would be hard to enforce that.
But I love it.
I guess you'd have to.
Impossible.
That's what I
enforce that. Renders a person's insecure in life.
That's the most.
Well, if John wants to come or his neighbor wants to come and say, this odor is making me insecure in my life, and two or three other neighbors did, then maybe we've got something there. Because
really?
You would
they just want my car. That's all.
You would say, no way, this is my car. It's a beautiful thing, and this smells like great to me. But
exactly.
I don't know. We would have to figure that out as we went along. Fortunately, we haven't had to deal with a lot of odor yet.
Well, so on a more serious note then, as it relates to number two, number two falling within the odor main category, somebody maliciously could complain about a marijuana odor, seemingly relying on number one general, and you have to follow up on that complaint. That seems so onerous on the city.
John, I think
for
we wouldn't go to number one on that complaint. We'd say, look, you've got this number two, which is specifically for processing and production. That's what we will use. Now, it's written in a way that says we want to know about this up front. We want the business to put in the right filters to prevent odors. But it also has a statement on here that says, once operation of the business begins, if odors are detected beyond the premises of the building, even with an approved ventilation plan, the facility shall be subject to code enforcement. So it's still possible.
Okay, so it appears, I guess at this point we can open up the hearing. Is that, do we have anybody who would care to testify? Hey!
Who I just want to say is not a Houghton resident, but that's, you know.
We always get the ad. Everybody's got to show it. Give us their addresses.
I am Mark Nelson from the Market neighborhood, and I would like to start by commending the Houghton Community Council, particularly you, Mr. Whitney, for saying we were supposed to look at something, we didn't look at it, but we're not going to let that happen again. I think that that's just a wonderful a way for me to come to my first Houghton Community Council meeting and perhaps my last, unless I move. But I commend you for that, because that says to me the council takes what they've been asked to do seriously. So. Yeah. As Mr. Shields noted, I've been following this marijuana issue since Initiative 502 passed. And I will say that in the Market neighborhood, a number of people, a large percentage of people in that area voted for Initiative 502. And I got to know over the last year a number of people who were supporters of Initiative 502. And it's been a wonderful experience. I will also say that Mr. Shields and his group have done a wonderful job of getting, you all know how long it takes to get to a few words, have done a wonderful job of getting to this point. My point to you would be, I'd ask that you support and endorse what is before you tonight. I want to make a couple of other comments, having listened to this, as someone who's followed marijuana very closely, and then I hope you ask Mr. Shields to come up and either confirm or contradict it. He mentioned the way the state has currently allocated two retail sales licenses for Kirkland. I think currently is an important word to pay attention to. The state's trying to figure out what the right quantity is. Population's one factor, but it's possible that there could be more. So if Houghton's thinking, well, the two of them are in Totem Lake and shoot, we didn't get one, or thank goodness we didn't get one, whatever your point of view on it is, I think that the quantity of two could change as recreational marijuana is rolled out in Washington. I also think the 1,000-foot park limitation, Kid Valley, for instance, is right across the street from parks. I think the state could say, well, that limitation's too much. It could change that. As to the school walk routes, I think what, and I have to credit Mr. Shields with the idea there. We in Market had some concerns we expressed, but he developed the school walk route as a way of getting at this issue. And I think that his explanation today, that's something that can be changed. I heard Ms. Pringle, you know, unintended consequences. But I think that it's something that it's a knob that can be turned in this overall marijuana issue. I want to make one final comment concerning odor. Those of us who followed this closely, in Colorado, the principal complaints were recreational marijuana has been around for quite some time, had to do with odor. And so Kirkland was responsive to that by saying, well, rather than dealing with it on a complaint basis, let's at least start by saying that there needs to be some cleaning systems in place. And I think the soundbite I'd ask you to remember someone offered was, the illegal marijuana growers managed to have no odor outside of their facilities because it's a way of getting discovered. And so the legalized growers ought to be able to use the same technology to be able to prevent the odors. And it's principally from the growing and perhaps the distribution where it's packaged. So that came from some history in Colorado. Finally, I really thank you all for what you do. I wish Market Neighborhood had such a thing. I understand the history of it. Keep on keeping on. I think it's a great entity that exists in Kirkland. So thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a visitor, and thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for your involvement.
Yeah.
Eric might want to contradict you.
Well, we don't listen to him anyway.
Quit it. Strike that remark.
Just kidding.
Oh, John. Did
am I allowed to ask a follow-up question?
Well, of course. Eric? Yeah. John's got a follow-up question for you, Eric.
I read in here, I'd like you to talk just a little bit on businesses sharing responsibilities. So Mr. Nelson brought up the thing, the park close to Kid Valley, which made me think right now Kid Valley can't sell pot because businesses can't share.
You can't have a business that sells other products and also sells pot.
Yeah, so is that a city-induced?
No, that's a state.
That's
requirement.
A state requirement.
Right.
So it has to be a marijuana shop, period.
Yes, and you can't have a business that both sells and processes or produces. They have to be separate businesses.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that if you have the right zoning, you can't put those businesses next to each other. You
just have separate doors.
But they have to be separate businesses.
Right. Okay. And that's one that could be changed by the state then. And
I suppose, yes.
I'm just thinking the way the liquor stores went by the way of the dodo bird. And
right.
You can buy them at 7-Eleven now, you know. Get your,
right. I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. So what... And I'm sorry, I haven't thought through this through, but if that one particular line item changed, how significantly does that change this distribution map?
I don't know. We have to plug it into our GIS and figure it out. I mean, there's all sorts of variables. You know,
yeah.
You can plug in a 500-foot buffer instead of a 1,000-foot. You can plug that in for some types of uses and not others. You can play it all different ways. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? So, do we care to make a recommendation to the City Council on this matter? Would anyone like to recommend support?
I would like to recommend support. I appreciate the work and the thoughtfulness that staff and city.
Are we voting?
Well, what we're considering is whether to recommend that the City Council pass the proposed regulations.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Could I hear a motion to that effect?
I move that we support the
city. Elsie, I'm going to ask you to speak into the microphone if you're going to make a motion.
I don't know why.
You got to be on record if you're going to make a motion.
Guess I have to do this right then. I move that we support the regulations for marijuana retailing, processing, and production, file number CAM140274.
Okay, so we have a motion to that effect. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
I have some discussion.
Okay.
So I think before, certainly before
I weigh on this, I think it's important to just sort of discuss some of the ramifications of which I have no idea what they may be. This is something that's so far beyond me. I don't know how. Honestly, I'm lost in a wilderness on this. So I would say, from my standpoint, there have been many people that have reviewed and weighed in on this and come up with the interim regulations, reviewed it again to make permanent regulations. So from my standpoint, I would simply be voting yes on the motion on the floor, because I have no way to judge anything of the contrary, right, and I don't necessarily want to cry abstention. Okay?
Sure.
That's it.
That works. Any other discussion? So, in other words, you don't want to be officially on record as being a pot supporter, but... It's okay, John. Any other discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Now, we have unfinished business on the zoning code reformat. Nancy, do you want to speak to us on this?
Sure. This was last reviewed by the Community Council on December 15th. You had a few comments which were forwarded to the Planning Director, who made a recommendation to City Council as part of Process 4A, Code Amendment Process. And on February 17th, the City Council adopted Substitute Ordinance 4476. And I have a copy of the substitute ordinance for you so that you have the correct one. The one in your packet is slightly different.
Okay. No. We got lots of trees around here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Substitute or...
So can you tell us what's the changes?
What I'd like to see, if you can, Nancy, is to focus on any of the recommended changes that we made and how those have either been adopted or not in this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I will explain. Okay. So all of the recommended changes that you proposed went to the Planning Director, and the Planning Director accepted those recommended changes, and they have been made.
Good.
So,
that's nice.
No change there.
Okay.
The only change that is in the substitute ordinance is on the cover sheet. So, nothing in the attachment A, which is the actual language. So, the substitute ordinance corrects the very first paragraph that is before the whereas clauses. See what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There,
that's got some chapter numbers wrong?
Yes, there are some chapter numbers wrong. So it was important, though.
Yeah, it was they always important. Are.
Yeah.
Rascal numbers.
Yeah. So we're glad that that was corrected, and so we have a substitute ordinance that was signed. But I just want to assure you that what's behind that is not different.
So we don't have to read the whole thing again.
Trust me, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
I did not want to print out the whole thing, but there was a... Well, anyway. If you don't want it, I'll take it back. But I just wanted to be sure you had the whole correct
version. Just for the heck of it, Nancy, okay. I am curious because you said it's just in that first paragraph before the whereases.
Right. So you would have to compare the one in your packet to this version. And what you would see is that the one in your packet repealed too many chapters. And
yep. Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, 50 yep. through
oh, it sure
56.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to repeal those yet. presumably, in about 6 months, there will be another package of similar amendments for the named business districts.
Okay.
And we're not sure if they will be coming to you in phases or all at once, but they will all eventually have the same format.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess so. Yeah. Yarrow Bay Business District will be the only one in phase two for you.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but again, it's a formatting issue. It's not a substantive code change. It's just formatting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Anybody have any questions, concerns before we take action on this? John.
Yeah, I got a question.
Well, let's take. Go ahead, Dan. Elsie.
If you want to talk, John. Sorry.
Go ahead. John will get his turn.
Nancy, I probably went right by it, or I didn't know what I was looking for, but there's a bunch of little tiny numbers. Is there a page that says number one is a ditch, or number two is something or else? Or I'm looking at these pages. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. And those are footnotes, and the number and the explanation of each of those immediately follows the table you're looking at.
At the end of the table, not just
correct.
The end of the sheet. Okay.
Each table. Each
correct.
Table.
Yeah, I'll point to one. Down here. So, like, number one. Yeah, there's one, there's two.
It's like footnotes.
Yeah.
It is footnotes.
Okay.
And
I was really confused. Thank
okay.
you.
And it's very important. Those used to be special regulations on the sides of the charts.
Right.
Okay. It's very important. Good question.
John?
So my question is to Eric, what is the next process as these codes are reformatted, they are reread, and as they're reread, small, I'm sure the staff has noticed small little inconsistencies in the way maybe little things are written in the old code that has been read over forever, and as now as it gets reformatted and re-scrutinized, it's like, oh, well, we should probably change that. To clarify it, it's non-substantive. The best example that I can think of is in the current code, again and again and again, it says something will be approved by the planning official. In English, that's incorrect because the planning official refers to a singular. There are lots of planning officials. You are the planning director. So in proper English, the planning official refers to a singular. It should read something like the planning official assigned to a project or a planning official. The English prose are incorrect. Very substantive. Okay?
Well, we didn't pick up.
That's why we paid attention in grade school.
We call him the bard.
Yeah.
When do small items like that get taken, you know, cleaned up, and more importantly, mm-hmm. some of the ones that get into a little bit of the substantive questions, like you and I have been talking about recently on different projects.
Right.
How is a red flag brought up that these are items that
right.
need to be addressed?
Well, they do in all sorts of ways. For example, a member of the Houghton Community Council might point something out, and then we have a zoning code list. We put it on the list. Next time we update the zoning code, we say, let's update that, make those corrections. We tried to catch all those. I know Nancy went through a whole bunch of these. I mean, I'd like to kind of touch base with our city attorney about the one you're suggesting, John. I do understand where you're coming from on that. But for example, one of the things that Nancy discovered in going through all this was that there's subtle differences in different zones mm-hmm. about just the way a regulation was worded. Mm-hmm. And we had to like literally sometimes put two or three or ten, no, not ten probably, but five different ways of saying the same thing and decide which is the best way to say it, and let's include that way right. in this new code. And so that went on a whole bunch of times in cleaning this up. We didn't do the one that you mentioned, which was the planning official versus planning officials or something like that. But that's something I'm going to make a note of and talk to city attorney about. Yeah. So anyway, as it will be amended at some point in the future when we get to that item on the list.
Okay. Yeah. So that's just the ongoing cleanup process that you normally do, and that it's that simple.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Anybody else?
Probably will never be done.
Yeah, well, it's never. I mean, yeah. Really. It's like cutting your grass. I'm finished for today.
Yeah. Right? There you go. So.
If we have no other questions or comments, could I?
I just have to make sure that the PLA 1 stuff hasn't changed. It hasn't changed a bit, right?
No, it hasn't.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Because I studied that so thoroughly.
Yes, it hasn't changed since you saw it in December.
Okay. Or since here.
Or before, yeah.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve Houghton Resolution 2015-1, approving the City Council Ordinance 0-4476.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carries. Okay. Thank you very much, both you guys. So now we're going to have a quick talk on TOD. What do we want to do about that? What can we do about that?
So,
I don't think there's much.
Can we specify what we're talking about on that? Yeah.
May I go first?
Yeah, I would. Let's have John make a couple comments, and we can go from there.
So we all have chatted lots of different parts and pieces, and so from my standpoint, I think we should focus in on exactly what we can ask staff to bring us back that we want to talk about and can talk about. So we went through the Lakeview neighborhood plan, created direction for the TOD, came back to this council. The council looked at it. I think we spent a really good time looking over what Lakeview had brought to us. The project moved forward. It changed in how it was presented from us through the process to how it got implemented when it left us and began the process going through design review. Okay. I stayed on board with that, and I watched everything. I did believe that it went through the proper process through the city. I do believe that. I don't think the results are what we intended.
That's for sure.
Okay? That's for sure.
Jeez. So, in my mind, what we need to focus on is how we didn't match expectations of what we anticipated versus what got built, because I'm not sure that it's on the table that we don't like that particular siding, because this board moved on. Our council said to the planning commission, or excuse me, the design review board, you all get to review this from a design review standpoint, and they reviewed everything.
But didn't we also make specific regulations about types of materials that we wanted them to?
We did do that, and I brought up the subjectivity of the terminology used. We tried to tie it to be objective as possible, but we ended up with a bunch of subjective terms that were subjective to the design review board, that were subjective to the architects and the principals that were that producing the project, and we got what we got. No, I'm not tickled with it. I jumped up and down from the very beginning about all sorts of issues with that project that I think came true. You all the same thing. So I am on your side. I'm really not. I think it could have been so much better. Oh, that's God. The best way for me to say it. It could have been so much better.
Well,
so
do we know anything yet about our gateway?
Well, in my mind, so to finish my little speech here, I think we ought to list exactly the bullet points that are the issue. And in my mind, it is the gateway. It is the setback from the street. And it is an overall review of how, as a council, next time this happens, we want to send design guidelines to the design review board so we're not surprised again.
Or if.
Wait a minute. Or
bigger issue is whether we trust that.
We're not doing it again.
We do not have to give up our right to make the decisions about the outside of those buildings to the...
Well, that really is the process.
We have to now because we voted to do that for the TOD.
Well, we did for that project.
I mean, I'm saying, look what happens. Don't do this again, guys, when there's something big coming up that we want to make look good.
Well, I think that's one thing that our council should decide whether we want to do
it. There was a reason why we did it, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but it was a trade-off for something. And I'm trying to remember because there was a lot of discussion about whether we should do that or not. And I'm trying to remember. It seems like it was years and years ago. We were down in the basement of this building, and I remember talking about this.
I thought it was simply that we just didn't want to be the design review board. We had a design review board. The city has a design review board, and we were going to let them deal with it. That's how I remember it.
You
think there was something else?
I thought there was something else, and I know that that's why we were so specific about the types of, we wanted, you know, siding that had permanence. I know we talked about not having those cement walls. We, you know, everything that we said we didn't want, we got in spades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got linoleum for the siding.
Oh, it's it looks like purple paint.
Well, okay, let's well, rather than sit here and have a bitch session, let's talk about what we're going to do and schedule it for the next meeting. So,
I don't know that we can
I think a request.
One at a time. John.
A request from the city. What is the gateway feature? What met the threshold from the design review board's definition of the gateway feature, and we'd like to see what that's going to be when it's finished. The second is we never really got a clarification of the setbacks at the corner. We talked specifically about distances, and I think we went from the curb or the radius, it was 50 feet. The building was supposed to step back, and we'd asked that the specific language came back and how the design met that criteria. And then the third thing in my mind is the design of the materials just follow the paper trail. I don't think we can bitch about them because we pushed that off. I think it went through the right process. It just ended up with a result we're not happy with. But I do think the city went through the proper process. I do believe
I think they did too. I think the contractors...
Okay, so we're going, just to get us on track, and because we're not going to solve anything tonight, so we're going to, John, would you, let me ask you this, since you're the most familiar with this, and you're also the most articulate, would you be willing to put together a simple request that we would direct to staff, or what we're, basically reiterate what you've just said? And the other thing that I think we should consider, besides having staff, and there's a couple of things that I would consider or suggest. We may want to identify the council meetings where we had the discussions on this and go back and listen to the tapes. Just for our own perspective, just to refresh our memories on what we discussed. So that's something I think we should identify the meetings that we had those. And the other thing we may want to consider is maybe having someone from the design review committee who was part of the, you know, who maybe led the process or was a key person in that process, ask them if they would be willing to come and just give us their point of view on how this came about so that we can understand. What I'd like to do is if we can understand where we could have avoided this outcome and maybe trust the design review process in the future, I'd like to have that as an option. But unless we can get some confidence in the process, I would venture to guess that we're not likely to be willing to consider using the design review process for anything within our jurisdiction in the future. And so I think there's merit in trying to go through this.
And isn't there also that written document that John had sent out that specified all of this? Where does that live?
What's that now?
Remember you sent out that email where you had shown the doc. There's a written document where we had specified all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was our recommendation on the project. Yeah.
Where does that live?
That lives, I know it lived on the Houghton Community Council packet list. That's where I pulled it off. So we went back to the packet list meetings that it was an illustrative presentation document given to us by the, I don't know if Polygon was involved in that meeting or not. I still think at that time it was a generic design concept created by
Do you can you access the reference of that, and then we could find it?
We can find it.
Yeah, we need to go back.
We can simply ask for staff's assistance with. I think we should identify any meetings that we had discussions of the TOD, and what the topics were that we were discussing, and then we can choose individually as to how much time we want to spend going back and reviewing those meetings. That will certainly identify where we did the written recommendation. And so we've got that to refer to, and then ask for the city's response to the questions that John has posed, and also see if we may get somebody from the design review board to come and give us their perspective on this. Does that all make sense to you?
Yeah, Rick. I'm a pack rat.
Mm-hmm. I am too.
And if I go back, I probably have all the meetings that we had, you know, in the material.
And so to the extent that any of us have notes where we made notes on this as we were discussing this, and I may have that myself, I would encourage everybody to do that just as well as we. That's all something we can do to help prepare for the discussion.
Yeah. And then I think the last thing would just be to get the design guidelines again.
Yeah.
They're right in the design guidelines. So we can review the language that you're talking about,
right,
that talked about the siding that you think is pretty specific, that I still believe is pretty not specific. It's,
okay,
you know, because words like permanence and stuff like that.
But I think we even gave examples, like brick and stone and something like that. And I mean, I think we were, I remember just having the discussions. You know?
Oh, I absolutely remember having the discussions.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's that game of telephone, that there was really enough there to be substantive and very clear of exactly what the expectations were.
Okay,
so we got a plan. That will be on our agenda for the next meeting. Okay?
Okay.
So you'd ask me to prepare a list, so while we're on that, Mr. Shields, what can you and I do together to make this more clear so we can round this stuff up? You just want me to write you an email that says A, B,
yeah,
okay.
That,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll talk to her tomorrow about this, but anything you can provide that would help, because, yeah.
All right.
We're trying to be constructive, Eric. I hope you can appreciate it. I don't know how you feel about the outcome, but it certainly isn't.
I haven't been down there in a while, so I don't know.
You should take a drive by.
I haven't driven by. Nice.
Oh,
my God. I go around the other way.
I go by it four times a day.
Yeah.
And
okay, enough. Okay, administrative reports. Calendar for June meeting.
Okay. I'm speaking for Teresa Swan.
Yeah.
And she would like you to open up your calendars for the summer.
Yeah.
Do you know what they are? Can we talk about that? And what she's looking for is a date for a joint meeting with the Planning Commission. And for the comprehensive plan, general elements, the public hearing. And her first preference would be June 25th.
June 25th?
Thursday, June 25th.
And
would that be in lieu of the meeting on the 22nd that we would normally have?
It certainly could be. And what the way she described it is that there would be the joint public hearing, which you've had before with the Planning Commission, and then if you needed to, you could break away and continue in another room and have a meeting if there are any
other
items.
Topics.
You could also do your deliberation the same night.
Okay.
But she doesn't need you to do that to meet the schedule, per se.
Okay.
But
so we could do it June 25th and then reconvene on July 27th.
Okay.
If we wanted to meet in July.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying is acceptable?
Yes.
She's just asking if that works for our calendars.
No,
does anybody know if that would be a conflict?
I'm good.
I'm currently okay, but I appreciate the advance notice because it does get into a time of the year where you may be making
right.
other plans.
And I'm going to ask you about some other dates, too.
Okay.
And the reason is...
I may have a conflict, but I'm not sure. It's
okay.
not firm.
Okay.
I think I have a dentist appointment, which is going to be a humdinger that day, maybe.
At 7 p.m.
I'll see. Oh, it might make it more fun.
You
get a little anesthetized.
Okay.
Betsy, that works for you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I guess tentatively for those of us who are here, we got one maybe, one may or may not be fully here mentally, and then the three of us that are for sure.
Okay, and we don't know about Laura and Bill.
No, can't speak for them.
I need to ask your patients here. She would like me to ask you about some other dates, and the reason is that she's trying to pull the Planning Commission to see if, you know, when they can come, and if they're not available on the 25th, if there's not a quorum, then that won't work. So June 18th, July 2nd, July 9th, July 16th, July 23rd, and July 30th.
Okay, you went a little fast.
Now we're pushing it.
Okay.
If she's looking to have us block out 5 weeks of prime time in the summer, that's maybe pushing it.
Not block out, but just let me know if you're aware of vacations.
If we know of any existing plans that definitely conflict.
Yeah. Basically talking about July.
Yeah, I have probably issues until the third week. But the first 2 weeks, I typically have a standing
okay.
daughter in town.
Standing daughter.
A standing daughter in town.
And grandson.
Well, how about the 18th? Is that more palatable to everybody? Does that work?
Is that a Saturday?
No, the 18th of June is
June.
Is a Thursday. So it'd be the Thursday before
What's
rather
wrong
than
with
after.
The 25th?
25th?
Well, she's just looking for other options in case they can't
case
do it on the 25th.
In case we can't get a quorum of the Planning Commission.
Yeah, 18th should be. Yeah, June's good.
Rick always wants to counter.
Counter?
You know, take your idea and counter it with something else.
Oh, okay.
He's
negotiating.
So does anyone know if
no,
that was wrong with the 18th?
18th work?
18th's okay.
We're talking about all Thursdays, is that right?
I'm looking
right.
at February's calendar, which is not too smart.
However, it could be pointed out that we have... in the past had joint meetings where we were kind of alternating between the Planning Commission and the Houghton Community Council as far as the dates, having it on a Monday versus Thursday. Mm-hmm. And for the last two or three, it's always been on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. So you might suggest to Teresa that it wouldn't be the end of the world to have the joint meeting on a Monday. Mm-hmm. Just laying it out there.
I'll mention it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was sort of the agreement.
But right now she's trying to pull the Planning Commission at the same time.
Well, then throw in the 22nd as a date for the Planning Commission is what I'm saying.
June
22nd.
Oh, wow, that happens to be our meeting.
That's the point, yeah. So June 18th, we're saying the 18th works for everybody. Brian, you too on the 18th?
In general,
although
I should be able to make it, but Thursdays in general are difficult for me.
I see. Okay.
So how soon will we know what date it is?
Okay, well, so someone is, Justine is going to call you on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah? Wednesday?
Okay, well, that's pretty good. Good timing.
Yeah.
Please mark down on your account. Justine does not need to call me. I'm good all those dates.
Okay. All right.
Not that I don't enjoy chatting with her.
No, but we do need to let you know so that you can pinpoint the one that is selected.
Just have her call and tell me which date.
Yes. Okay.
We're looking 18th, 22nd, and 25th as it stands now. Getting into July, I think we're going to have some conflicts.
Okay. The latter half of July, is anyone aware of vacations?
I'm gone.
You are. The
latter. For sure.
Okay.
Yep. I will be here for the 20. I've specifically planned around the 27th, but other than that,
yeah,
I'm gone that week before completely.
I would say that could also be an optional meeting, is the 27th of July.
As far as the joint meeting, well, but that doesn't keep her schedule, it sounds like.
Mm. Right.
Yeah. Let's try to make it one of those 3 days in June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Planning Commission can...
Okay.
All right.
And then we talked about the certificates, so we got that one kind of covered.
All right. And the Planning Commission meetings are televised, just in case you ever want to watch one.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Find out for yourself.
Well, I've been to one or two. Okay. Anything else that we don't have for the good of the order? Because I do have one other thing. Nancy, come forward, please. Present yourself to the center of the Houghton Community Council.
Oh, we're going to pick on her.
We will give everybody an opportunity for razzing, but I'm going to start out by saying that we truly, truly have been so fortunate to have you as our city, whatever, our staff member assigned to the Houghton Community Council. I honestly can't imagine anybody who would be better to work with, and I'm saying it in all sincerity. You've just been so dependable, easy to work with. You've been supportive of us when there's been questions about our very existence. You've been there for us, and it means a lot. And I really can't imagine somebody who will do a better job in your place, and we're going to miss you a great deal. And I even came up with a little acronym for Nancy. I got it. N for nice or never naughty. A for articulate. N for no nonsense. You're very by the book. C for cerebral, and maybe chow, because you're getting out of here. And yay, why was a hard one? I just said yay, yippee, yahoo, it's time to get the hell out of here. So that's my two bits. Does anybody else have any razzing or roasting? Or
who could top that?
Yeah, that's right, you should have gone last. That's right. Yeah.
Well,
I simply want to say you're absolutely delightful. Thank you very much for being there for us and supporting us and helping us. From the bottom of my heart, thank you.
First off, you're way too young to retire. You must have gone to work here when you were 12.
I've been here 30 years.
I know you have, but it just doesn't seem possible.
She was a prodigy. Yeah. Betsy, you have anything to add?
Gonna miss you.
Yes. Yes, no, I have loved working with you. You've been so patient. I mean, that's the thing. I just love that you're never, you don't get mad at us. You're not flappable. You don't get disgusted with us. You don't roll your eyes at us. You're just very professional all the time. I'm sure sometimes we try your last nerve. Every bit of patience you have. And I know it's probably been difficult, but we really appreciate how professional and fair and kind you have been to us, and good advice and good information, and just like Rick said, we could not have had a better staff member. We have been blessed, so wish you all the best, Nancy, and hope to run into you again.
You will.
Okay, come and testify.
You're gonna come drinking with us now?
Yeah, she's gonna want to hang around here on Monday night.
Oh yeah, she's gonna.
Brian, you got anything you want to throw in?
Oh, I have the shortest tenure here, so I do appreciate your patience. I'm with the least experience here. You've been really patient, so, and very professional, so I really appreciate your help.
And a token of our gratitude.
can of worms thing.
Just rip it. My only it's not a little a bit of scotch tape.
Rubber chicken under her dinner plate.
Yeah. Back to the Terry days. I provided that chicken.
That surprised me a bit. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that card's gone a long way. It's been a long
Oh, my gosh, it's priceless.
There's yeah, more pages there. She'll discover it at home. I hope.
Really?
Well, I don't know why not.
I don't know why not.
We're happy that you get to retire, but we can cry because we're going to really miss you.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Have fun with that. Yay.
All right.
Good.
Yeah, a little birdie great. Told me that. Yeah, I know. She's right. I had to ask her how to use the computer just so I could get it. Yes, when I got it.
And that's, you know, it's just wonderful. I think, you know, we all have to keep at it.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
And it's only more so. Right?
Yeah.
Yes. And just about the time I figure something out, then it changes.
Something else.
Well, with that excitement... Meeting adjourned.
End of an era.